Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Give us a minute to back up.
What do you guys want to do? You think something funky? What key do you like? You like B?
Yeah, B's Drew, do you know? Yeah. B good?
Yeah. B's good.
All right. Let me just take college a second and put the strap over my shoulder here.
I know that Adam can play, begrudgingly, I admit that, but I haven't really heard Drew kicking on the bass yet.
You ready to go?
He seems to be holding it right. Okay. All right, let's see what we got here. Nice.
This is us. Am I playing guitar here?
You're playing guitar. Dr. Drew's playing the bass.
See, I made it realistic.
You're making the funniest face right now.
See, John kept it straight. Usually guys try to be funny and step on it. I kind of want to hear this whole thing because I want to hear what we do at the end. Again, all the guys in Jimmy's band are these guys. I thank Superfan Giovanni for archiving all this stuff. Also, I'll tell you, you can go to Books.com, hit Adam, get 15% off, just the best. MedMen.
Let me hear you play.
Go to MedMen.com. Check out the Mother's Day special. That's probably Toshi, I guess. Geico.com, 15% off or more.
Adam, you're in the wrong line of work.
You're off, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I'm leaning back. I'm jamming.
It's been a while, huh? Yeah, all right.
Barney Miller.
Yeah. Well, let's hear Drew do the proper bass solo. Come on, let's hear that.
When I was 19, I ate about 4 boiled peyote and stayed up all night and felt no effect.
Jesus, Drew. He never said anything. I had to bring it up to him.
Wait, now he did that behind his back.
No.
That's pretty crazy.
So signature John Popper, right?
Of course.
Looks awesome.
All right, let's bring it home.
Wow, that was pretty fun. You guys are pretty good.
Song. Yeah. Drew.
What?
I mean, Jesus Christ. Who the
grief?
You brought up the bass like twice in the 4 years that I've known you.
Adam, look, I was afraid you want me to play with you.
I know, but it's like if you got something and it's going to be good on the show, why don't you say it?
All right.
I think you guys should do it on the TV show, frankly.
Yeah. I don't think Drew would do it because I think it would bring his
image
into question.
There's definitely some performance anxiety going on here. This people are bashful, and you just the key to being a musician, you just go out there and do it in front of people.
Well, you got to get really drunk and then do it.
Well, at first, sure, right. But you know, eventually, you know.
All right, Drew,
that was great. I'm impressed.
All right, we'll maybe do a little something in the 11 o'clock hour too, Jessica.
Uh
huh. You're 15.
Actually, I'm now going to give Drew no credit for doing. He's such a wooden, stiff actor.
Makes it funnier in a way.
It worked.
He didn't want to talk about it.
That's weird.
I think I pulled it off. And John Popper, see, right?
Yeah, yeah. He steered the ship.
He gets it.
One of you was grunting. I think it was you. You were grunting when you were taking your make-believe guitar off.
I probably did it. I wanted to be like off mic and make sure we weren't right back on it and stuff like that. So I guess if you heard it, Drew's stupid monosyllabic answers to everything. Grunt. He's what Drew, why don't you tell me about this?
Oh. You didn't ask.
Playing the part of the, you know, the genius.
Drew's a, to be fair, Drew's a horrible actor, but I think he felt like like he was lying.
Oh,
like he Drew's like things like he didn't like showing off and lying. Right. Like his wiring is that we're
he's
bragging.
Just making advice. Yeah,
and he was he was more like, we didn't really play those guitars. We don't really have that talent. We shouldn't be saying
it's kind
we
of
did.
Apologizing for the bit.
All right, you were
good.
You were talking about not having. having a gig last break at terrestrial radio and like where are you, where are you going to be, and what's going to happen, and
2009
it was
we've all done that, and my buddy Kevin Hench, who's had his trials and tribulations, he had a steady job at Jimmy Kimmel Live but as a segment producer and not as a writer, and he wanted to write. So I said to him, I got this idea for a boxing sports movie that we could do together. And he was like, okay. And he quit his job.
It was smooth sailing ever since.
Quit his job over at Kimmel and worked on an independent sports movie. This is like an insane idea because there's no money in making indie movies. And then he knocked around, and we worked on pilots together, and we worked on things together, and felt pretty good about the whole Burcham pilot animated thing about 8 years ago or so. But maybe we got to the party a little early with the Roseanne and the the sort of return of Archie Bunker and all that stuff. And next thing you know, he gets into Last Man Standing, creates Last Man Standing. He'll always be the one who does all the heavy lifting on everything and all the work on everything. And lo and behold, he's three seasons in, and the ratings are great. And Tim Allen's one of these guys where he's good when he's good, but when he's not good, look out. And there's not a whole lot of people that can probably work well with him, but once you do work well with him, he doesn't want to work with anyone else. And Kevin figured out how to do that. And next thing you know, they're like hitting a little bit of a rhythm, and the things are getting consistent. And doing a sitcoms, like it's a steep learning curve, and then it gets real easy. It's real hard. It's almost impossible at the beginning, and then it gets pretty doable as you level off and you
that's
get your
obscene.
Your rhythm. So that's Tim. So for the first time ever now, Kevin's having success, and he's making money, and he's running a show, and they're heading towards syndication, and all the stuff that he'd been working for is finally coming together, and they're going into season 6 or whatever it is, 7, I can't remember,
five or six, whatever, and the syndication and blah, blah, blah. And right about a year ago, it's just they canceled the Last Man Standing. They pulled the plug. Now, these guys do quite a bit more in the ratings department. They would win their time spot every week, their time slot every week. And they did real well in the ratings department, but they pulled the plug. It's hard to tell. Sometimes maybe a little political. Maybe that was a factor. I don't know if it was all of it, but there's networks hang on to shows that don't do very well because they like the idea that that show or that celebrity or that person or anything. And then there are the shows that do well where they don't like the idea that that guy or Tim Allen or whatever. And it can help or hurt. I think in this case it hurt. Now, the question is not did it hurt. The question is just how much did it hurt. I'd say somewhere more than 10%. But on the other hand, they'll keep Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity could have a baby, and if their show is dominating, then it stays on. Right. That's the way they like the money first. But if Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh have a baby and it's doing well but not that good, well, then maybe they don't have room on the schedule in the next season. But either way, we'll never know. But we do know something. So it was canceled in the sixth season. These guys are just getting ready to start up season seven. Tim Allen's back on TV. They got a hit. Hench is... I can tell you, once that nut gets going and you get used to making that kind of money, it's hard. And then all of a sudden, somebody opens the newspaper and the plug has been pulled, and that's that. And now everyone's jobless. Mm-hmm. And Hench has this big nut and these properties and kids and wives.
And the big number to zero, effectively.
Right? Zero. He just did zero. So he does what he does. He goes right back to it. And he's pitching shows at Netflix, and he's pitching shows at ABC, and he's doing this. And I'm keeping up with him, but I could tell he's scared because you just got to pull that plug. They don't pull the plug halfway out. No. It comes all the way out. It's not like, well, the thing that was plugged in, the blender, kind of works. Yeah. No, it's
grinding
just out.
Halt.
It's
done. You can have a chunky smoothie. No,
it's done.
Have a chunky smoothie.
So he's worried, and rightfully so, and... Then he's narrowing it down between like ABC and Netflix, and I think it's the Netflix thing. We're not sure of the Netflix, and blah blah blah. And at some point, a few weeks ago, we go out and celebrate with Nick Santora because Netflix did pick up the 10 episodes or whatever the Gabriel Iglesias sitcom. Blah blah blah. I may be missing some of the official particulars, but either way. It's good. He's got the job. They're moving forward. Fantastic. And they go, good, good. Back in the game. Got the paycheck. Going to cover the nut and all that. And I was due to go out to dinner with him last Friday. And I said, I saw a tweet. It was like, Tim Allen, they're bringing back. But I didn't know they're bringing back Last Man Standing. And like based on the success of Roseanne. And, you know, again,
yeah, we talked about
the political thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Then I went out to dinner with him on last Friday, and I said, I heard a tweet. Is that a true story? I got to tell you, half the time, 65% of the time, the story is, I didn't hear that. Where did you hear that? Or, that's just Tim was talking, or the Hollywood Reporter just kind of took it and ran with it, and it's nothing. There's nothing official or whatever.
Some version of the truth.
Right. He said, that's Fox. Fox, who owned it, brought it back from ABC to Fox, and I said, "So is it a done deal? Like it's coming back to Fox?" And he said, "Yeah." Wow. And I was like expecting, like, well, they want a mini pilot first to run it at the convention to see if they can get to advertise it. And I was like, "How many episodes? 22. 22.
Good for him.
Right back in it.
That's great.
And now he's got to worry about doing this other show.
Wow.
And this show, which
problems.
I'm back to betting on myself. I don't bet on Kevin Hench. But what I'm saying is just become that person and make it happen. And he did. Like, you know, the whole time he was out of stuff, I would say to him, like, hey, come watch football on Sundays. Like, I got to finish the script or get it back to the network or whatever. Those were Sundays. You talk to
Fast and Furious, Chris Morgan. You talked to Last Man Standing, Kevin Hench. You talked to Scorpion, Nick Santoro, and ask them to come by on a Sunday and have a beer on any given Sunday. Every given Sunday, at least two of them will say they are working. Mm-hmm. That's on Sundays. They hate God and they hate their family, but they love them some monies.
That's the message.
That's what I got out of it. All right. We'll tell you about Books, and then we'll get into some news after that. We'll break some news. Books, man. Mother's Day sneaks up on you, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Don't get suckered into the $19.99 flowers that end up costing you $60 when you check out. Books, short for bouquet. We love these guys. And like I said, I'm signed up for the bi-monthly one. The Game of the Flowers over 2 weeks ago. They're still going strong. Fresh cut from farms delivered straight to your mom. So they last for weeks. And just a noticeable difference from the stuff, other stuff, or the stuff you get in front of the supermarket. The farms are located on the side of volcanoes, not active ones. You have to say that now.
They ruin them.
They produce flowers so gorgeous, mom is going to post pictures of them, even if she doesn't know how to use her oversized flip phone. Books, they cut out the middleman. You get amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price. Order today. Get 15% off when you enter Adam. That's BOUQS.com. These are a real deal. Honestly, the best. Check these guys out. BOUQS.com. Enter Adam and save an additional 15%. All right, quick break. We come back with news.
Jimmy Kimmel has always said that Adam Carolla is the funniest comedian who's never written a joke. And on June 14th at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, he'll prove it. Join Jimmy as he takes audience suggestions for topics and throws them to Adam for a completely improvised comedy event. That's right. Kimmel's pitching your topics to the Ace Man in a comedy home run derby. June 14th at Flappers in Burbank. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Bruce Willis is going to play Cus D'Amato in the new movie Corner Man, according to ComingSoon.net. Very exciting. I don't know if you'd heard about this. Corner Man takes place in the Catskills region of New York during the early 80s. Constantine was his name. Constantine Cus D'Amato is a reluctantly retired boxing coach who, in his heyday, discovered and trained some of the greatest heavyweight world champions. Then a friend drops by with 13-year-old Mike Tyson, and Cus is intrigued. Mike gets into trouble with his fists, displaying his raw but incredibly powerful talent. Seeing the kid's extraordinary potential, Cus enrolls him in his gym and welcomes him in his home, determined to turn in the youngest ever heavyweight world champion. Production on the film is slated to begin in the fall, and producers will begin a worldwide search for the young actor who's going to portray Mike Tyson as a kid.
Of course, the story of a young Mike Tyson is all about Cus D'Amato.
I was thinking about that too.
He's the lead character.
Yeah,
but I bet he has a pretty interesting story, and most people don't know that name.
No, I mean,
like, I get that Bruce Willis is the star, an international star, so you got to make the movie kind of around him. But you know,
It's interesting because people have seen. There's been docs on Tyson, lots of films, and I mean, sports things and stuff, and a good documentary, and so on and so forth. But Cus D'Amato is a very interesting character in this equation because he's the guy who's the patriarch of the house, who does all the training, who brings all the people in, who turns them into champions. And then I guess he died right shortly after Tyson became champ.
It was, it was right towards the peak of his, powers. Right when his, developmental age.
I don't know if 85. I don't think he'd taken the belt. He just get the belt. He was still
85 is pretty young.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't in with Don King and all the mess yet, I don't think.
He died a little over a year before Tyson became the youngest world heavyweight.
Right. That's a tragic part. And then, of course, Tyson went on to get to best mentor ever to Don King.
Yeah. Right. Whole spectrum. Yes. And Cuss seemed pretty old by the time Mike came around.
Yeah.
So that's another interesting part that just, you know, obviously he still has the skills and he has the knowledge, but he seemed like an elderly guy at that point. Well, one Miami businessman is attempting to rid the street of guns one Rolls Royce at a time, according to CNN. His name is Rashawn Welch. He's an owner of a luxury rental business, 305 Elite, and he's offering anyone an evening out on the town in one of his high-end automobiles to anyone who turns in a gun. Welch said he decided on the project after noticing an alarming trend among his clients. He said that the same kids he was running the cars to were getting caught up in crime. Rashawn, by the way, did 5 years incarcerated. Welch, whose luxury rentals include Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and Bentleys, hopes these brief encounters with extravagance will provide something to aspire to. And they gave an example of a kid who turned in his AR-15 to have a luxury night out at the prom. A teenager.
Wow.
Teenager.
No, to be fair, he was held back. So we're not talking about a 17-year-old. We're talking about a 26-year-old.
Nice,
but either
ride,
way,
man.
It's still the prom.
How'd you land that?
But I did think of you when I first read this because, we've talked about you see a guy with a nice car and you used to think, wow, if I work hard, I can have that. Not, why does he get to have that? And I like that this guy's philosophy is if they get a taste of it, maybe they'll want to do something and aspire to.
I think they'll get their gun
own.
Back and go rob some liquor stores to get a better taste of it. I don't see this ever
Damn
working
it.
Out, but I like where he's at.
He's trying.
Yeah. Or we could have parents. We could do all these things.
Stop with your pipes.
And or have parents. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of cars, the Corvette given to Green Bay Packers quarterback Bart Starr. Does that name ring a bell?
He won the first Super Bowl.
Exactly. As a reward
does that
for
name
winning.
Ring a bell.
Well, hey, man. It's a long time ago. Super Bowl I. He won the MVP award. It'll be auctioned off later this month. It's an all original 1967 Stingray convertible painted dark green to match the team's jerseys. The Vette has a V8 engine that puts out 300 horsepower with a 4-speed manual transmission. You'll have to learn how to drive stick, but it is going up for auction.
Hmm.
Are you interested?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a Corvette guy per se, though I drove in that Trans Am race. I did drive a very nicely prepared Corvette and enjoyed it quite a bit. I will say that it's weird. It's a little what brings value to a car. So it's like, Paul McCartney's Ferrari doesn't really sell, right. Or Lamborghini doesn't really sell for any more than a Lamborghini would sell for, even though it's Paul McCartney. He's not a car guy. Right. Steve McQueen through the roof, because Steve McQueen is Steve McQueen and a car guy. So it's a weird, it's kind of a weird market as to what that, I guess if Steve McQueen had a guitar, it wouldn't sell for that much because he's not a music guy.
Right. Do you think the Super Bowl relation has any value?
I look at it as more of a football memorabilia.
It's going to add value to the price of this Corvette. The question is how much more to the value of the price of Corvette? And if it goes for charity, I don't remember if that was in the story or not. Sometimes these things go toward a charity. Mm. They go toward a charity. Oftentimes, the price will go to $1 million for a $100,000 car because every bit
nice
over the price of the car that would have been, they can write off.
Right.
So rich guys just go, screw it. I'll give the Children's Hospital the money. I'll write it off, and I'll buy it $1 million.
Car,
so
yeah.
Then sort of all bets are off. Hey, Max Pata, who was that attorney general in New York who was accused of whatever that I was laughing about with those pictures?
Schneiderman.
Oh, he's the best.
Somebody, I guess he pulled a tweet down that somebody tweeted me. But anyway, he was, it was great. He had on his Twitter, maybe someone can find this or did a screen grab or someone. His Twitter picture, whatever we call him.
Yeah, profile pic.
His profile pic was him standing in front of this multi-ethnic group of women who are holding a thing that says violence is a crime or no me too or fair hate speak is bad speak or whatever. Like he's
clever.
Leading. I don't know what it was. It was always ironic. You know, he's right. leading the charge. Sure. He's leading. He's the tip of the spear in the Me Too woman's movement. And then it's later on. It's like, hey, he called the Indian woman his little brown slave and liked to spit on her. It's like, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Now, here's the thing.
Could it go any other way?
No, and I don't care that he called this Indian woman a little brown slave. That's up to her and him, and she can sue him or whatever. And he likes a little rough trade and a hair tug and spit on him or whatever. That's him. Fine. Work it out with his wife and his God and her lawyer or whatever it is. I don't want to see the picture of you leading the goddamn march.
Yeah, don't prop yourself
that's
up to
all,
be this.
That's all hero. That's all hero. Here's how you know, by the way, these guys are heroes, douchebag heroes, all these people. I yell this at Lynette almost every night. You see these people, they're 63 years old and suddenly well into some movement. Like, hey, man, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to eat anymore unless gay marriage is made legal. And every it's like, when did this start?
Right. Why does it support you now?
You're 63. It started at 62 and at 4 months? Like, when did this become your life's work? Except for it was never your life's work. You never brought it up. Oh, wait a minute. Turns out you were against gay marriage 7 years ago. So when did this become your thing?
It's like they're taking the joke of Drew in the bass, but not playing it for a joke.
Right.
Like, I've never
Oh, no, this is a big deal for me. Like, it is a big deal for you. And then I'm 53. What can I look forward to?
Oh, we've got a whole world of things opening up.
Just changing my mind on everything.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. Screaming about the school to prison pipeline and how it actually exists. Like going against everything I've ever said and having things just rush. And be, oh, forget about it. I don't want to talk about cars or vintage racing or Paul Newman or documentaries. I got other stuff to talk about that I've never thought about until now.
Thank God there was a red arrow on the way to work. Thank God, because I could have driven into traffic. That's right. God knows what I'm capable of.
Yeah. All right. This picture of him marching in front of these women is like somebody photoshopped it. They're all holding a sign for everything. What a jack off. And I don't care what he did. I'm just saying, don't lead the march.
Well, and that's exactly right. If you want to be involved and get in line, do that. But to put yourself in the forefront of the picture is pretty lame.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. By the way, I don't even know what get involved means. What is it? What are you bringing to the table? I get involved is as much as, hey, we got to have an honest dialogue about race. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, get involved.
Now what?
Now we go. Yep. Yeah, here's the honest dialogue. We need more black dads. Oh, okay, that's racist. All right, moving on to the next conversation then.
Not so honest.
Yep.
That, ironically, is the only honest conversation that no one wants to have. But go ahead. He's a hero.
Yeah. And he took it down.
Also, I don't know. Can anyone, is there anything you can do? Like, how does this work? I mean, I'm sure he's into like the rough trade. I'm sure he liked to tug some hair and call her bitch or whatever it is. There's nothing in any any context anymore. It's all gone.
Right.
It's all done with. I was listening to Anderson Cooper interview some jack off senator from, is it from Oregon?
What's
it, jack off senator or whatever? In Oregon or whatever. And he was like, he didn't like the Dr. Admiral guy that Trump appointed. It's like he'd walk up and down the aisles, Air Force One, and offer them Ambien. And like, he was like, what?
Yeah, of all the
not
charges,
prescription? Yeah.
Charges.
He said, like, with the time change, I would do that for people that are on Air Force One. And by the way, if I flew Air Force One and we're going to Beijing and somebody in a decorated naval uniform handed me a pill, said, you can sleep and then we'll be back on time, I'd go, thank you.
Yeah.
They called him the candy man. And Anderson Cooper's like, the candy man? Right. What? He did what?
Pray tell.
Those are prescription drugs. It's like, oh, please. All shit we know and would do and wouldn't care about. He tugged her hair and called her what?
Like if he's handing out like anti-nausea medication for the same reason. Like it's going to be a bumpy flight. People are like, he was giving out prescriptions like they were candy. Like of all the things, charges levied against him, that was far and away one of the most innocuous. Like, yeah, he was helping people sleep.
Come on. All I'm saying is Anderson Cooper, get your panties out of a bunch, even if someone put them there. Get them out of the bunch and go, well, she's a doctor. You're going across two time zones.
What
is that really? I mean, look, I'm with you. Let's get rid of them. But I've flown on a million airplanes with the person next to me. I was flying with one. I got an Ambien. You want an Ambien? I got a Xanax or something. I'm going to go to bed. We'll wake up. Yes, thank you. I didn't go,
would you like to examine our condition first?
Yes, I don't think so, sir. Kind sir. Like, I'm going to report to you, by the way. Like, that's your example of him.
Yeah.
Give also something that people knew or that he said he would do. Like, I don't know. Didn't that just make you a good dude in the past?
Not
like,
a powerful indictment.
Right. I get it. One guy doesn't want him in there.
Right.
That's fine. Anderson Cooper, you unbunch the panties and get to the real stuff that he did. And hopefully you can find something they really did. But let's not go, oh, my goodness. He did what?
Let's stomp down on this.
Hold on. Those were prescription. Yeah, because they work, by the way. The ginseng and the hibiscus with the herbal sleepy time. Not so good, turns out, on the continental flights. Yes, go ahead.
Well, Page Six reports that a, quote, out-of-control Johnny Depp attacked a crew member on the set of an upcoming film.
Out of control.
Sources say the actor got in a location manager's face after, quote, smoking and drinking all day.
Schneiderman deleted his Twitter account.
Of course he did. Oh, the whole account.
Like in the last few hours.
The whole account's gone. Because he did the move. He did that one move, which is, look, this was consensual, and I like a little role-playing. By the way, his greatest role is pretending to give a shit about the women's movement. That's his greatest role. But he also liked the little, like him standing in front of all the chicks holding the signs. Uh-huh. That was his greatest role. But he also, in the bedroom, liked to do a little role playing as well. And so he did like the one pass where I'm going to defend myself and go, hey, man, this, that, and the other. I have no idea if any of it's true, but once you then try to defend yourself, then you get taken out and spanked in the public square. So now,
which he might be into. We shall see.
That's true.
So apparently Depp was smoking and drinking all day. At one point,
we are at the point now in our society where we find out what Harvey Weinstein was up to. Then it turns out the top cop in New York is now going to take Weinstein and take him down to Chinatown. And then at some point we find out he's doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll find out like the next guy is doing it. This is like, it's like politicians in New Orleans where it's like, hey, the mayor had to be replaced by the, oh, he's been arrested as well.
Yeah, it's like Chicago.
They pulled over his motorcade on the way to the inauguration.
Yeah, he's next in line praying not to get there.
Yep.
Now everybody's just going down for everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We're draining the swamp.
We're going to end up like on the Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm bringing this to Johnny Depp, where we're all just in jail. We're trying to get that dog with the keys. Let us all out. Oh, what happened? Well, it turns out the sheriffs who were in charge of taking him from the van to the cell, some of those guys had done some things that were untoward, and they had to be locked up as well. Eventually, we'll all just be locked up, and this will be that one dog.
That's good.
All right.
All right. There he is.
Justice for survivors of sexual assault. He's going to get it. I wonder what he's up. I wonder what he was into. Like, also, I feel like the role playing. I had a gal say she wanted me to talk dirty. She wanted me to degrade her a little bit in the bedroom. And I said, I don't care for your parents. She's like, what? I was like, you're pissed, right? Yeah. Like that's like I don't like your parents that much. And she's like, what the hell?
You were
like,
raised poorly.
Well, yeah,
that's bad talk.
It's a poor reflection.
That's my dirty talk.
That's so hot.
And she's like, real. I was like, you're upset, right? Oh, I call you a dirty little girl or something. That's doesn't
played out.
Yeah,
played out.
Cliche, anyone can say that.
And also, I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
of my parents. So you know, I feel like pull it off.
It's a referendum on her.
Everybody wins.
Discussion, but anyway, my point is this. I feel like there's an understanding that, hey, we're doing a little dirty talk, a little hair tugging, whatever it is. I don't know how that gets turned into.
It seems like a pretty consensual act, if that's what you guys are into.
Yeah. On the other hand,
the pattern is established.
Right.
If this is just your thing to call you my little brown slave and spit on you, I don't want that guy necessarily driving the school bus with my kids. And like, I can also, that's kind of a two-way street. Yeah, I do judge a little, and people go, hey, I was in a bedroom, and the door was closed, and it was consensual. I was like, I get it. I don't know if I want that guy heading up security at the airport or something. I just feel like something's a little off.
There's a place for you.
Yeah.
It's not here.
Right. Yeah. It's assembling things.
Right.
Yes.
So I think you're going to like this. So Depp, according to some, was smoking and drinking. At one point, apparently tried to punch the man that he was confronting and screamed, quote, I'll give you $100,000 to punch me right now. The alleged fight happened after Depp was told.
Depp. Yeah,
I think Depp is nuts, but I also think he's, I think he's a blackout drunk.
Sounds like
I think
possible.
He drinks and then does things that are
like
this, or throwing things at girlfriends, or I think he just
he's
does that.
Yeah.
That thing, so, right?
This is for the set of Labyrinth. Have you heard about it, Brian? This is the movie about the deaths of Tupac and Biggie.
Oh.
And however, the film's director...
Which one's he playing?
The film's director totally denies the story. Brad Furman tells Page Six the incident has been exaggerated, calls Johnny a consummate professional, great collaborator, and supporter of the artists. So we'll see.
How does this even become a story if, like... Well, first off, I think the way I think it's like this. If nothing at all ever happened, that's impossible to... manufactured.
Yeah, there was a skirmish of some
there's
kind.
A little dust up and something happened. All right, I would suggest for Johnny a little less of the Jack Sparrow Daniels and a little more of the MedMen.
Nice.
Premium, thank you, experience to cannabis shopping. If you live in SoCal, listen up. This week only, got a little Mother's Day sale. That's right, exclusively for the WeHo and Venice. WeHo is West Hollywood,
yep.
Right?
Right over there on Santa Monica.
Yeah. Better in NoHo. Venice stores, purchase any dose pen 200 and get a special flower arrangement. Yeah.
Starting. That's great to know because that is by far my favorite product, the Dosist.
A little something for you and a little something for mama, too. Starting Thursday, May 10th. That's coming up. Through the weekend, you can buy one, get one half off on select items. Bath bombs, chocolates, topicals, lotions, you name it. Open for both recreational and medical users. Anyone over 21 with a valid ID. 8 retail stores throughout L.A., Orange County, San Diego, Las Vegas. Check out Mother's Day specials this week only. See stores for details. While supplies last, restrictions may apply. Go to MedMen.com and find your nearest store. All right, let's do one more.
All right, but real quick, can I tell you why the Dosist is so much fun?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I think it's like Dosist, because you suck it until it vibrates, and then when it vibrates, it cuts off so you know what one dose
is.
Like those wine pourers at like a wine festival or wine tasting.
You
know what I mean? Like, what's that, like 2 ounces or whatever
it is?
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a delightful surprise.
Yeah.
Well, Don Gorski, the Wisconsin man who got into the Guinness World Record book.
Gorski, Wisconsin.
Doesn't add up.
Yeah.
In 2016, after he ate his record-breaking 28,788th McDonald's Big Mac.
This is the dude that was in the Super Size.
Yep. He just ate his 30,000th burger. Over the weekend, the 64-year-old retired prison guard ate the milestone burger at his local McDonald's in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
I love the commitment to the hairstyle.
It's really disturbing.
All these years.
He's been there. Page boy with a mullet. He's got
the chops.
A little Captain Kangaroo.
Yes.
In the front. And he's got a little Russell Crowe, Master and Commander. Like, not Russell Crowe, but the guy who had tattooed on his knuckle, Stand Fast. The old guy. Spinning yarns about the tail, never giving up. The sea never gives up their dead. It's like, I don't think the earth does.
As opposed to.
Banana, grandpa, anything? No. Nothing.
Yeah.
This is
a prison guard, by the way. Who's scared of him?
He was in administration.
Okay. You might be right.
I feel like I would be thrown off a ship. Because I'd be the guy like sitting next to me. Go, they say the sea never gives up her dead. And I'd be going, yeah, well... Now, I don't know when the last time you've been on the land was, but, you know, like remember they put your wife in the ground 6 years ago?
Quiet, ye dead men tell no tales.
Yeah, who's making you an omelet? And by the way, these ladies of Spain, they're okay, but they're not nearly as hot as the one from Sweden. You know, I know we have a whole song about ladies of Spain. And also, you know, you keep saying comely lass.
I do say that.
Enjoy it, because eventually it's going to sound weird.
Oh,
I've been to the future. Commonly, it just kind of makes people feel weird.
Okay, I'll keep it to the here.
Just say lass.
Arr.
Yeah. You know, you should start saying is bitchin' lass. You know what I mean? Well, comely is weird.
Well, comely means she's fetching.
Yeah, but it's going to sound weird in a few days.
Arr.
You know, in the future. And by the way, you kept wanting to bum fags for me. Let's start calling them cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And when you say south by southwest, say south. Sow, no one, that's a pig.
Mm.
That's a female pig.
You'd be asked to walk the plank pretty fast.
Yeah, go take a look at that plank.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody told me to go out there and check out the end of the plank, and then they told me that my shoe was untied, but I wear the buckles.
And I didn't know what it meant. I felt the sting of an oar. But thank God I was falling backwards at the time. So,
tis a figure of speech.
If you can find the guy who was playing a practical joke on me by hitting me with the oar while I was having me fix the plank.
He needs a talking to.
I'll ask around.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the comely ladies of Spain, not so hot. Again, let's back off on the comely a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, no more comely.
Yeah. And anyway, I like your pork chops.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And extra ration of mead.
For you or for me?
In general.
Okay. Yeah. All around.
Yeah. Also, mead turns out later, it's going to just turn into a notebook. It's not really going to have much meaning.
Notebook?
Noted would be the right answer. All right. Stand quiet.
So Big Macs.
I'm the captain.
This guy ate a bunch of them.
No. You're the guy with the knuckles.
Oh, that's right. I'm Stand Fast Guy.
Find a picture of the Stand Fast Guy from Master and Commander. He was the old guy who had the big pork chop. I got to believe if you're McDonald's, or like Donald Trump, and you're like Donald Trump, and Kanye West just went on a Twitter storm talking about how much he loved you, and then later on he went insane.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of hope he doesn't do that other part.
Yeah.
And if you're McDonald's and there's a guy who has a world record for consuming Big Macs, you A, hope he's not fat, and he's not. It's good. But second, not a weirdo.
Yeah.
And turns out he's a weirdo. Now, he was a prison guard. Here's my theory.
You got Jared Fogle on your hands otherwise. You know, the guy who eats nothing but sandwiches. Yeah. Next thing you know.
I got a theory.
All right.
My theory is the following. He's a prison guard. Did he love McDonald's, Big Macs, that much? Or did he love taking over his shift at the prison and saying, sorry, inmate fellas, I'm running a little late. I was at the McDonald's.
Yeah.
I just had a
what
big
smells so good?
Mac. Oh, you guys remember Big Mac. Oh, it's been a number of years for some of you, but remember
I kill good and Mac? Have. Said,
by
Mac.
The way, they are the same, just like you remember.
Actually, a little bit better.
Some things maybe a little improvement, but they're just as you recall. Now, you want to smell my fingers? Now, here's the point. On a prison, do you know how much, you know, insane that would drive everyone? Because I just feel like if I was in the joint, the number one thing you would drive all those guys insane for is, I'm sorry. Oh, is your little secret sauce on my lip? Let me just wipe that down.
I got it off.
I usually wipe it with my last fry. How badly they would do, they would kill men to get one of those Big Macs. You can't really say I went out and had prime rib because it's weird and you don't have the money for it. Yeah. And also it doesn't really make a taste in your head.
No. Yeah.
Tell them Big Mac, everyone's got that taste.
Everyone knows instantly.
Yep.
That's my theory as to why this guy
it's a good pull.
We got the stand fast guy.
Yeah.
Hold fast.
Sorry.
So this
stand
guy,
down, Max Padam. I'm talking about holding fast.
He says he's been eating them since 1972. He says he's healthy as a horse, and he expects to reach his 40,000th Big Mac in about 14 years. I thought you were going to say, doesn't McDonald's hope he doesn't have a coronary in the next 2 weeks?
They do hope all that, but they wish he wasn't a freak show.
Yeah. When do horses become the standard of health? They were like I see the incredible Dr. Pohl. Horses aren't always that healthy.
Well, not only that, how healthy do you have to be to roll an ankle and we put a bullet in your hand?
Yeah, you're fragile at best.
Any of God's creatures that rolls an ankle, we got to put you down at the track.
That's not a healthy creature.
That's not healthy.
That's not.
How did padded flapjacks become the standard by which things sell fast? They're selling like hotcakes.
Right, you're on a roll.
Why
are we on a roll?
What is the standard? why did rolls become... that makes sense, actually. Hotcakes.
Yeah, mm. I don't know. There's certain things that are just pure alliteration, and healthy as a horse is one of them, and I am sorry, but you don't get to just pick words that start with the same letter and just put it at the end of your first statement and have it make sense to all of us. It doesn't make sense. We
sign off.
There are a bunch of those where the next word just starts with the good for the goose, good for the gander.
That's right.
I don't really know what a gander is, but it's just putting the next word there that starts with the same letters. Yeah. I think we're past those days.
Because your options are limited with the H for the animals. Hippo, hamster, hermit crab. where are you going to go?
None of those roll off the tongue.
There's a horseshoe crab.
Yes, there is.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Meg Nutman had it coming.
Gina Grad.
Coming.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Geico, man. Let's take care of your automotive insurance health with Geico. You can take care of business going to geico.com. You save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to your computer. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. You take that extra money. You put it in your pocket. You go to geico.com. How about that? Seattle Cruise, rooms added, sailing September 14th through the 17th. The Seattle to Victoria, British Columbia, in a top-notch, top-tier, top-shelf ship with a pool. It's got like a Ziffy board pool and
an
endless
rink.
Wave and an ice skating rink and a rock wall. It's going to be awesome getting drunk watching all you guys do that stuff. Me and Dawson sit around and get drunk. So check that out at book your trip at adamcarolla.com, and we will be there and we will see you there. The big podcast with Shaq, and you can check that out. Shaq talking everything to everyone. The guy's one of a kind. And you can check it out at Apple Podcasts, the Podcast One app, and podcast.com. All right. So, let's see. Don't we have some Corolla drinks crap coming up on you knuckleheads?
Friday night, we're playing Borderline in Thousand Oaks. Is that what you're talking about?
There you go. All the crew's going to be there, and then I think I'll be in Pasadena at noon on, Pasadena Monday. On Saturday at noon at Total Wine & More. All right, so until next time, Adam Carolla, for Gina Grand, Bald Brian, say mahalo. I'll UFC you in hell, dude.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. And leave us a voicemail. Phone number 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee, a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Thursday, May 17th, Cleveland's Agora Theater. Friday, May 18th, Detroit Royal Oak. And June 9th in Portland, the Ace Band's first ever stand-up special. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, main career events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.